The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I'm very proud to carry that banner to Oros and Oberon.
I am of Ireland. Come dance with me in Ireland.
Let us address the next 7 years with hope and courage as we work together to build a future for our country.
Yes, Patrick Egan is back with me, presenter of Talking History and the director of the Trinity Longroom Hub as well, continuing our series on presidents and the office of the president here in Ireland. And all previous editions are available as podcasts. Last week we were talking about a sex scandal or a pseudo-sex scandal, something of a sex scandal involving Patrick Hillary as president. And we talked a little bit last week as well, people will remember, about how Patrick Hillary is considered, maybe unfairly a little bit, but as kind of the last of the old style presidents, if we'll put it that way, and Mary Robinson the first of the new wave, and that new wave very much outward looking at the world stage, Ireland's place in the world stage and the role of the president in that context. And I understand that's where we're picking things up, Patrick, this week, is it?
That's exactly, and it begins with Mary Robinson, and I think she really put her mark on the presidency from a very early stage. And I think an incredibly courageous thing that she did in 1992 was that she insisted on visiting Somalia to highlight the huge humanitarian crisis that was taking place in the region because of famine, because of war and conflict. Law and order had broken down. There were armed factions stealing aid. Millions were facing starvation. No one wanted to go there. No one wanted to go near it. And she became the first head of state to visit Somalia during that massive tragedy.
And how big an impact did that have? I remember those images at the time of her. And I think to an audience maybe across the water in the UK, it was a little like when Diana handed that child who had AIDS or was HIV positive. This was hugely impactful, I remember.
It was huge. And she brought not just the Irish media, she brought the eyes of the world to Somalia because the world media followed her there. And it was controversial behind the scenes because the senior civil servant in Ireland, a top civil servant, said that she was moving outside her bailiwick and they tried to block it. And a message was sent from the Taoiseach Albert Reynolds that she wanted to link it with a visit to the United Nations to speak about it. And the message was sent to her that that was inappropriate because it was going to be clashing with government policy. And she arranged a meeting with she spoke on the phone to Albert Reynolds, and she explained that she wasn't changing government policy, she was putting a humanitarian face on the government's policy, and eventually that trip to the United Nations and the trip to Somalia was agreed. And I think they blocked her being able to use the government jet, so she had to go by chartered plane. They were making it as difficult as possible, but she spent 3 days visiting camps, meeting starving people. She always spoke afterwards about how it left a lasting impression on her. And she gave a major press conference in Kenya afterwards where she broke down in tears. And, you know, normally we think about Mary Robinson as being very, you know, reserved and, you know, very cool and calm. But here, the trauma, the pain, the suffering, everything that she had experienced over during her trip there. And I think it was a real show of empathy and strength. And I think it was a really powerful moment as well. And again, that helped draw international attention to the famine and the catastrophe. But even after the success of that visit, there were blocks against her. She wanted to write a book about what she had seen, and the Attorney General, or she was told that the Attorney General would have to approve anything that she wrote. And just continuing with Mary Robinson, in 1994, she became the first head of state to visit Rwanda after the genocide. In 1995, she visited Argentina and she wanted to visit one of the poorer suburbs, but there was complaints from the Argentinian government. So she just ignored them and arranged that the residents would go to her hotel and she greeted them there. So Mary Robinson was subversive in her way. She was stretching the boundaries. And I think it really was a profile in courage.
Okay. So then in terms of these other great moments then on the world stage, we're going back to 1975, is that right?
Well, maybe this is more of an act of courage on the domestic stage,
okay,
because Carúla Dolig was president, and there was a play put on in the Abbey Theatre by Tom Murphy called The Sanctuary Lamp, and there was huge criticism from the Catholic hierarchy in the newspapers because of it, and it was seen as not Irish enough, an attack on Irish values. And Colin Murphy, the great journalist and playwright, he's written about this and about how O'Dolig deserves a huge amount of credit for publicly defending the play and coming out and calling it one of the greatest achievements in the history of the Abbey. And Colin wrote that it was a brave judgment and a sound judgment. And there you see a president intervening to give support to a cultural moment that is under attack, that's under a threat, and showing how, as head of state, you can intervene in those things and make a big difference.
Is the current resident of Áras an Uachtaráin then responsible for any of these great moments?
I think so. I think during the decade of centenaries, Michael T. Higgins deserves a lot of credit for bringing together a lot of historians, philosophers, political scientists, citizens to talk about Ireland's revolutionary period. This was the Machnav 100 reflections, and a lot of them were published afterwards, and you had people like John Bowman chairing the sessions, and I think it was a way of getting away from some of the more divisive elements of who did what in the Civil War and actually reflecting on our past and trying to make it a shared past. And I think that was maybe an important moment in terms of reflection and healing there. And I think that was an area where our president was very good.
The visit of Queen Elizabeth has to be on this list somewhere, does it?
Yes, I think that was one of Mary McAleese's finest moments. And I think it was a hugely important moment in British and Irish history. It was very important in terms of the story of reconciliation. It was a 4-day visit. We all remember it for going so well.
And, yes.
And what a time it was in terms of reconciliation and all of that, and the Queen bowing her head when she visited the Garden of Remembrance and visiting Croke Park, where, of course, you have the memory of the British soldiers opening fire during the War of Independence. And we needed a top diplomat and a safe pair of hands guiding us through those 4 days.
I remember it now, and I wonder what would cause something like this to happen again. I remember we were all on tenterhooks. Everyone, every moment she was here, you were watching it and you were just willing everything to go right.
Yes, don't disgrace it. Let it all go peacefully. Let it all go well. And Mary McAleese was so superb as president in helping that along. And important to remember that there was a lot of criticism of the visit beforehand. Sinn Féin were against it. They said that it was premature. Gerry Adams said that this was not the right time for the English Queen to visit. A lot of independent TDs were against it. Martin McGuinness refused an invitation to come to it, even though he was Deputy First Minister in Northern Ireland. And then you had that state dinner and the televised speech. And I remember watching it at home and the Queen beginning her speech in Irish.
Yes.
The camera panning to Mary McAleese, who you could see mouthing the word wow, and that it was just this hand of friendship. And the Queen gave a very, very good speech, you know, things that had happened and regretting things that perhaps shouldn't have happened. And I think it did open up a new chapter in British-Irish relations. And it was the first visit by a British monarch to Ireland since independence, and the first one since her grandfather, George V, had visited in 1911.
Yeah, and you couldn't, when you say a new chapter, I mean, you couldn't imagine, say, Michelle O'Neill turning down a similar invite today. I know last week we were talking about kind of Paddy Hillary to Mary Robinson at the end of kind of one era and the beginning of another. I guess this was slightly that as well.
It was that, and I think it made future visits possible then, and it made the official state visit by Michael D. Higgins as president to the UK in 2014 possible. And that was the first, there had been other visits, but this was the first official state visit. And that was also a 4-day event, and he met the Queen at Windsor Castle. But he met the Mayor of London, Boris Johnson, and so on.
And before we talk about that as well, what else he did there, I do want to mention before we move on about the Queen, because you were part of the TV commentary.
Well, I actually was. The Queen and Prince Philip, they visited Trinity, and I had been asked by RTE to just help out with the commentary with John Bowman for that. But it was only meant to be 15 minutes. So we had all our notes, and we were ready for this 15-minute chat about it. But then they fell in love with the long room, and there was a woman playing the harp, and Prince Philip was entranced by that, and the Queen wanted to see all around, and it ended up being 45 minutes with John Bowman and myself scrambling through our notes, identifying people in the gathering and chatting about it and stretching it all out. And
you suddenly felt the pain of the sports commentators when there's a rain delay in the golf or there's extra time in football. They think, I only had notes for a certain amount of time here.
But yeah, so that was my memory of it, and being forced to stretch out our chat for 45 minutes. But it was a hugely important visit, and I think it was, and I think it needed a president who could do all of those things, the lightness of touch, but also the serious gravitas and authority to welcome a head of state where there was that kind of difficult, contentious history in the past. And I think we were blessed to have Mary McAleese as president at that time.
Yeah, so that's undoubtedly one of the great moments. And you've already mentioned actually the next one we're going to talk about briefly, but we'll talk about it in more detail now. And that's the return visit. It wasn't Mary McAleese, but Michael Dee.
Michael Dee, and as I say, met the Queen at Windsor Castle, met the Mayor of London, Boris Johnson, addressed both Houses of Parliament. And I looked back on this speech, and we're used to Michael Dee giving very long speeches, and they're very, they can be quite brilliant, but they can be quite extensive. This one was only 13 minutes long. And I think it was one of his best ones. He got the tone perfectly right. He highlighted the significance of the Good Friday Agreement. He praised my guy, Daniel O'Connell, and linked his cause to the Good Friday Agreement. There was a great quote from, I think, a poet about looking at each other with doubtful eyes. He talked about that famous painting, the great painting of Strongbow and Aoife.
Yes.
And talked about now we have a fresh canvas to create some new images. And it was one of his shortest speeches, I think one of his best. And I think President Higgins was really quite brilliant as our statesman during that visit.
Yeah, well, that was the visit that happened in 2014, and that wraps up our quick wrap-up, if that's what we'll call it, of the greatest moments, or some of the greatest moments.
Some of the greatest moments, but if I have a second, yeah. I'll just mention a final one that Mary Robinson did in 1996 when she visited the White House, and that was when Bill Clinton was president. And, you know, up until then, there was a lot of images of Ireland in America, of, you know, Ireland of the leprechauns and the drinking and, you know, all these cliches. And
yeah.
Mary Robinson's visit really showed a new Ireland and a different Ireland. And she gave a brilliant speech in the White House without any notes, where she talked about the famine and emigration and about how these now became, these inspired our great desire to fight hunger in Africa, and that this was the great cause of our time today. There was a bit of humour because she mistakenly referred to President Clinton as President Kennedy, and Clinton
he'd have loved it.
And Mary Robinson spoke about how she referenced how she herself had shook hands with JFK when he visited Galway in 1963, in the same way that the young Bill Clinton had shook his hands, and really that got such attention in America and was seen as starting this new era. So I think we've been very fortunate in our recent presidents in the way they have represented Ireland on the world stage.
All right, we'll have to wait and see whether we are as fortunate with the next president. I'm sure we'll be as fortunate with the next edition in this series, because Patrick Gagan, presenter of Talking History, will be back 6 o'clock next Thursday. We shall continue. If you enjoyed that, as I'm sure you did, and you missed any of the previous editions, all available as podcasts on the News Talk app. Patrick, thank you very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.